Turn with me in your Bible to John 14, back to John 14 this evening. Last week we noted in verse 6 that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way, and we dug into what the Bible reveals about this wonderful truth. Tonight we're going to see what it means that Jesus is the truth and the life. But first, let's look together at John 14, verses 1 through 6. Follow along as I read from the English Standard Version as we step back to the passage we began looking at a week ago Sunday morning, looked at last Sunday evening. We'll come back to it tonight. Verses 1 through, I think I said verses 1 through 6. Let me read verses 1 through 7. "Let not your hearts be troubled, says Jesus. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also, and you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." So just a quick review of what we noted last week. Here's what we saw last time about Jesus being the way. What does it mean that Jesus is the way? He is. Jesus is the way to being made right with God, and praise God for a way to be made right with God. He's the way to forgiveness of sins. Praise God for the way to forgiveness of sins. And he's the way to eternal life. Praise God for eternal life and that eternal home we have to look forward to. And as those things, as such, as we noted last Sunday, Jesus reveals the Father. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no revelation of the Father. Jesus came, God in human flesh, a physical representation of God the Father. We also learn from Scripture that Jesus opens the way to the Father. There's no one who stands between us and the Father. And we learn that Jesus is serving as our high priest before the Father. And we also learned that Jesus now intercedes for us before the Father. Those are wonderful truths that we learn about from God's Word when we dig in to find out what it means that Jesus is the way. Now, let's think about what it means that Jesus is the truth. Because Jesus says in verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What does this mean that Jesus is the truth? How is Jesus the truth? How is Jesus the truth? Well, Jesus is the one who came and proclaimed the truth of God. Jesus is the one who came and proclaimed that truth is real and truth is knowable. You're in John chapter 14. Turn back a few chapters to John 8. John chapter 8, because in John 8 and verse 32, Jesus says, you see it there, John 8 and verse 32, and you will know the truth. Truth is real, and truth is knowable. You can know the truth. You will know the truth, says Jesus. And if we back up a verse to verse 31 here in John 8, we see that Jesus connected knowing the truth with abiding in the Word. Abiding in his word. Look at verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and," verse 32, "you will know the truth." So do you hear that? If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and how do you know the truth? And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How do you know the truth, and how are you set free? You need the word. If you want to know the truth, you must know God's word. And this is good news that we know that there is such a thing as truth, and we can know the truth. And truth is real, so you can know the truth. And in fact, in John 17:17, we hear this: "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Now listen to James 1 and verse 25, which says this: "But the one who looks into the perfect law," this is God's word, perfect law, "the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." He will be blessed in his obedience to God's word. And then, why don't you turn to Proverbs 2 with me for a moment? Read a longer passage from Proverbs 2. You can follow along there. Truth is real, and it is knowable. Look at what Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 7 says. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom; from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity." God's word is truth. And God's word is knowable. It's real. It's knowable. God's truth is necessary for life, for wisdom. And we're to store up sound wisdom because it's a shield for those who walk in integrity. It's a shield to those who walk in the truth of God's word, walking in obedience to God's word, shaping their lives by the truth of God's word, trying to shape their thinking and their speech and their conduct, their work and their behavior with family and neighbors and people they do business with, all being shaped by God's word. That's the truth that works in us. And so Jesus is the truth, and he leads you to the truth. And the truth is real and knowable, and you will find that truth in God's word. That truth you need is in God's word. Secondly, Jesus also proclaims that the truth can set you free from the bondage of sin. Look at verse 32 again here in John 8. Back to John 8. And verse 32, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Listen to that again, verse 32 of John 8, "And you will know the truth." Truth is real, and truth is knowable. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from what? Free from bondage. What kind of bondage? The bondage and chains of sin. If you don't think that sin is bondage, that sin isn't like being chained up in gloomy darkness, just look at the world around us pursuing whatever they feel like instead of the truth of God's word. And you'll soon discover that sin is bondage. It says Romans 6 and verse 16, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness." So in verse 34, back in John 8, Jesus warned those who challenged his words that everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Refusing God's word leads you down the path of continual bondage to sin and separation from God and separation from the truth you desperately need. That's one of the reasons it seems like we're seeing our world spiraling out of control as people in the world believe one falsehood after another and repeat one falsehood after another. Sometimes we catch ourselves saying, why do they do that? Can't they see the truth? And the answer is no, they cannot see the truth. They do it because the devil is a liar and wants them to be deceived, because his ultimate goal is to kill you. So the devil gets people believing lies, and those lies lead to eternal separation from God. That's an eternal death, an eternal separation and torment, separated from God. That's Satan's goal. So he doesn't want you to have the truth. He doesn't want you to see the truth. He doesn't want the world, he doesn't want the unbelieving world to hear the truth, to believe the truth. So not only as the truth does Jesus show us that truth is real and knowable, but as the truth, he also proclaims that the truth can set you free from the bondage of sin. And for that, we ought to praise God. Thirdly, Jesus is also the truth in that he faithfully proclaimed his Father's word, which is truth. We heard it this morning in John 14, that Jesus' words are the Father's words. Jesus is speaking what the Father tells him to speak, speaking of believers in John 17, verses 14 and 17. Jesus says, "I have given them your word." Jesus says of God, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I have given them your word." Jesus faithfully proclaimed his Father's word, which is truth. Verse 17 in John 17, "Sanctify them in the truth." Again, I shared it earlier. Here it is again. "Your word is truth." This is why we need to be lifelong readers of God's word. You will never outgrow the truth. You will never outgrow your need for the truth. The truth for all believers in Jesus is that by abiding in and living by Jesus' teachings, you find the only way to know the truth and the freedom that it brings, and the joy that it brings, and the peace that passes all understanding that it brings, and the contentment that it brings. And how grateful we ought to be that Jesus is the truth. And if we're grateful, we ought to be diligent about taking in His truth and not neglecting His truth, not ignoring His truth, and taking steps to obey it, to putting it to work in our lives day by day, step by step, seeking to obey God's truth. It is the truth, and Jesus is the truth that leads us to the truth of God's Word. Freedom from the bondage of sin becomes even more meaningful when you think about the fact that Jesus is also the life. So Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and He is the life. And freedom from the bondage of sin, it becomes more meaningful to you when you take to heart the fact that Jesus is the life. How is Jesus the life? Jesus is the life because He brings abundant life now and eternal life. You realize that you can have abundant life now, even though you are not rescued from earthly trials and tribulations and challenges and the temptation of sin and failing and sinning and needing to repent and thank God for His forgiveness. You can still live an abundant life this side of heaven, and God wants us to. He wants us to know His joy. He wants us to know His peace. And Jesus is the life to help us along the way. We heard this promise from Jesus when He spoke of the Good Shepherd back in John 10. If you're still in John, you can go to chapter 10 and look at verses 10 and 11 with me. John 10, verses 10 and 11, and here we see another picture of our adversary, the devil, who is seeking out people to devour. John 10, verses 10 and 11, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. Now I think when we see that in verse 10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, we may be quick to think of the forgiveness of sins we enjoy, yes, and what does that bring? It brings eternal life, and we look forward to heaven. And we think, well, yeah, I came that they may have life, a forgiveness of sins, eternal life, abundant life, yes, eternal life. But abundant life can be ours now. As we rest in Christ, as we rest in God's truth, His Word, and walk with Christ, yes, by Jesus' death for sinners, He offers abundant life not only for all eternity, but for here and now, for all who believe in Him. And Jesus being the life also means that He offers a peace which the world cannot give. He offers even a peace that the world cannot know until they believe in Jesus and find the truth. But Jesus being the life means He offers a peace which the world cannot give you. You can see that in John 14. Are you still in John? Look at chapter 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. That wasn't just a promise for the disciples in that day. That's a promise for Jesus' disciples in this day. And in John 16, Turn over a couple of chapters to John 16 and verse 33. Jesus says this. John 16 and verse 33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There's hope for you and me to live abundant life here and now, even though we're still in the world. Why? Because Jesus has overcome the world. And he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything. Again, this is not something we can do in our own strength. We need the Lord's help for this. We need the truth for this. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. In other words, in everything, turn to the Lord. Your life. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. A heart and mind guarded by the truth. As we're reminded that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so Jesus offers a peace which the world cannot give you. It's only found through faith in Jesus Christ. And thirdly, because Jesus is the life, this also means that he gives us his love, which surpasses all earthly understanding, all earthly knowledge. Think of the world that we live in, and we clamor for more wisdom. We clamor for more knowledge. We even have schools of higher learning, and that's fine, and it's good to pursue learning and understanding of the things that you want to accomplish in this life as you seek to be obedient to the Lord. I'm thankful for doctors who go to school and learn how to do operations that I could never do. I'm thankful for mechanics who can fix my car when I can't fix my car. Those people have gone and gotten training, and that's good. But there is a knowledge that surpasses earthly knowledge, and that's found in the love of Christ as the life. Now, what does it mean that he gives us his love which surpasses all earthly knowledge? What does that mean? It means that his love enables a knowledge of God that's not possible without his love revealing that knowledge to us. There's something miraculous that happens in our hearts and minds when we open God's word with the Spirit in us, helping us understand and apply the word to our own lives. That's Jesus, the life, giving us his love, showing us his love by helping us understand and apply his word, his truth to our lives. And that surpasses all earthly knowledge. Here's what the Bible says, Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I want that. I want to be filled with all the fullness of God. How about you? John 15 and verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Fourth, and here you need to understand, the fact that Jesus is the life means that he gives his joy. And the Bible tells us that joy is inexpressible. 1 Peter 1:8, though you have not seen him, you love him. I hope you can say that that's true of you, that you love the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. Even though you haven't seen him, you love him because you know what he's done for you. And you know what he's doing for you. You know what he's going to do for you. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice, here it is, with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. So the fact that Jesus is the life means that he gives his joy. We could waste our lives trying to make our joy happen. When what God says is, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And I will give you joy. Your joy may be full. How about full joy this side of heaven? Wouldn't that be something? That's abundant life with Jesus, which Jesus, the life, makes possible. And he gives his children who abide in his word. And his word tells us he gives us his peace, his love, his joy. But I want you to note that as the life, Jesus provides abundant life only for those who trust in him. In John 3:3, we're told that we must be born again. That's when that new life begins, when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and we're born again. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot know a fullness of joy. You cannot know the peace that passes all understanding. You must be born again. And because we must be born again, God sends his Spirit when he gives new life. When we're born again, he gives us new life in Christ, and he sends his Spirit to strengthen our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to give us help along the way as we seek to obey his word. We have this powerful reminder, Titus 3, verses 5 and 6, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness. We don't bring any righteous works to our salvation. We can't. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy and by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Isn't that wonderful to know that you have the Holy Spirit? If your faith is in Christ, your life has had the Holy Spirit poured out on you richly because of Jesus Christ, the life. And then as the life, Jesus works in us by the Spirit who becomes for us, we could say he becomes for us like rivers of living water, growing in us the fruit of the Spirit as we obey. Every time I think of the fruit that grows in believers, that's like a tree planted by living water, we get that picture from the Psalms. I think of my grandfather, Pierpont, my dad's dad. They had a farm when I was a youngster, and I think they sold it and moved into town or closer to town when I was 12 or 13. But before that, I remember going to the farm as a youngster, and I used to climb through this monstrous pine tree. I'd get into the, I don't ever remember getting sap on myself, but I'm sure I did. I don't remember that. I've gotten sap on my hands as you handle a pine tree as an adult, and you're like, what in the world? Why did I touch that? Why did I do that? I never thought about that as a youngster, but I would walk into this tree and actually climb through the branches of this great big pine tree. And then later in life, I remember my dad telling a story about how he played hooky from school in his senior year. It was like one of the last days of school, and he and a buddy skipped school and got called into the principal's office to get chewed out for skipping school near the end of his senior year. And before he left his office, he gave each of the boys a little pine sapling, a little tree. And dad said he took it home, and his dad planted that in the yard. And then when they bought the farm, they dug it out of the yard and took it with them and planted by a spring run, a little tiny spring. And that tree, by that little tiny spring, grew up so big that when I was a kid, I could climb in it, and it could take me to new heights. This is the way God works in us, like living waters flowing through us to grow us up in Christ. says Galatians 5, 22 and 23, this is what the Spirit makes possible when we submit to God's Word. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And we look at the world around us and go, wow, wouldn't it be great to see more love and more joy and more peace and more patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness? And oh my, people need self-control. And God says to you and me, you first. As we look at the world, God says, you first. You have my Spirit. You have no excuse. You need to humble yourself before God's Word and seek to be led by the Lord Jesus Christ, the life, and by the rivers of living water that He gives by way of His Spirit at work in you with the Word. So Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. Jesus is the only way to knowing and experiencing God as our Heavenly Father. Jesus is the truth that provides freedom from the guilt and freedom from the bondage of sin. And Jesus is the source of life that gives us His rich blessings to enjoy now. You know how we ought to enjoy His rich blessings now as the most joyful people on earth? You're that, right? You're the most joyful person on earth because you have Christ. You should be. Rich blessings now. And rich blessings for all eternity. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is the way and the truth and the life.